Okay. So the Mishnah said, Tzar, how do we evaluate Tzar? We're starting from the two dots. How do we evaluate Tzar? Kvo'o b'shvud. If he burns him with a spit or the masmer or with a nail, al tziporno. He hurt him on his fingernail. So there is no danger, no harm. There is no harm done to the person himself because it was on the fingernail. But there's a burn. So there's pain. So the case of the Mishnah really is a case where you have strictly pain. So the Gemara asks like this. In the Pasuk, it says, Kviya tachas kviya, a burn for a burn, Petza tachas petza, a wound for a wound, and Chabura tachas chabura. And chabura also means like a wound. So the Gemara says, Tsar Amar Rava. So again, Tsar Shelo B'Makom Nezek Mishtalei. So in the Mishnah, you see a case that you have Tsar without Nezek. Right? Tsar Shelo B'Makom Nezek Mishtalei. The Mishnah is saying that you have to pay for Tsar even though there was no Nezek there, right? No physical damage to cost him, you know, loss of anything. So you pay just for the tzar. So Mantana, the Gemara wants to know who's the author of the Mishnah. Omar Rava. The Rava said, Ben Azahi. The author is Ben Azai. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, we're going to see a Machloikis, how to teach that pasuk. Now, the pasuk started first, kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas petza, chabura tachas chabura. So what does kviya tachas kviya mean? Does it mean just a burn, nothing else? Or does it mean, and then the pasuk is going to come up later and say, chabura tachas chabura, to teach me that it means only if there is a wound as well, that's when you pay for tsar. But if there's no wound, you don't pay for tsar. Or is it the opposite? That the initial assumption of kviya tachas kviya means you got to burn with a wound. And then the pasuk chabur tachabur comes to tell me that no, in other words, if I only have the first pasuk, kviya tachas kviya, I would say you only have to pay if there is also a wound. So comes along the pasuk chabura tachas chabura to tell me, no, that if there's, that kviya tachas kviya means if there was a wound, if there was a burn by itself, you also have to pay. In other words, the chabura tachas chabura is reversing what I thought the pshat was in kviya tachas kviya. That's going to be the machloikis here, but the question is, what was the initial assumption, and what are we reversing it to? So the Gemara says, Mantana. So first of all, Amish is telling us that tzar shaloi b'makom nezek, mishtalein, that you have to pay, even if it's just tzar, without any nezek. There's no chabur, no damage to him. So who's the author of the Mishnah? Omar Rava. The Rava said, Ben Azahi, that the author is Ben Azai. What does Ben Azai say? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa. Rebbe Oimer. Now we're going to have Machloikis Rebbe and Ben Azai. How to teach that pasuk of Kviya Tachas Kviya. So the Gemara says, The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe learns, Kriya Namra Tchila, that Kriya is said first. Now we know the order of the Pasuk, you're not going to have a Machlokes what's written in the Pasuk, right? We know that it says Kriya Tachas Kriya, then Petza Tachas Petza, and then Chabura Tachas Chabura. But the Machlokes is going to be, what does it mean? What does Kriya Tachas Kriya mean? What does it mean initially, and what does it mean after we have the other pasuk? The Rebbe, I'm a Rebbe, says, Kriya Namra Tchila. Kriya is written first. Benazai, Oimer, Benazai says, Chabura Namra Tchila. That no, Chabura is written first. Meaning that when it says Kriya, it means a Kriya with a wound. When Rebbe said Kriya Nematchila, it means a Kriya without a wound. Benazi says, it means Chabur Nematchila, that it means that Kriya, initially when it says Kriya, I would say it means with a Chabura. But my Kamiflagi. The Gemara wants to know, what is the Machloikis here about? My Kamiflagi, what do they argue about? Rebbe Savar, Kriya de Lesbe Chabura Mashma. Rebbe says that when the Pasuk says Kriya, it means without a wound. That's what he said, Kriya, Nematchila, that when the Pasuk says Kriya, it means just a burn, no wound. Kasev Rachmana Chabura. Then the pasuk goes and writes Chabura, Chabura tach Chabura, Ligluye Allah de Kriya, to tell you what Kriya means. The Isbe Chabura, that Kriya means a Kriya with a Chabura, that's when you are chayv to pay for the burn. But if there is no Chabura, then you'll be potter. So he says, Kasa Rachmana Chabura. So the Torah went and wrote Chabura Ligluye Allah the Kriya to tell us that you know what Kriya meant? The Isba Chabura in. If there is a Chabura together with the burn, together with the Kriya, then you pay for the Kriya. Eloi, Eloi. But if there is no Chabura together with the Kriya, then you are going to be potter from paying for the Kriya. What? Okay, so that's how he's learning. That's how Ben Azai understands the pasuk. Kriya, that's how Rebbe understands the pasuk. That if we just say Kriya tach Kriya, I would say it means a plain Kriya, Yechayev. When the Pasuk then writes Chabura, Tachas Chabura, that's telling me, no, you know what Kriya really means? Only if there is a Chabura, that's when you pay for Kriya. So that means, according to Rebbe's Pshat, that the bottom line, what's Taich Kriya, Tachas Kriya? It means if there's a Chabura. So if there was a Chabura together with the Kriya, then you pay for Kriya. So that's obviously not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah was saying that even if he just got burnt on his finger, where there is no Chabura, he got to pay. So therefore, it's obviously not going to be Rebbe, which is a little strange, because Rebbe is the one who wrote the Mishnah. And we're saying now that the author of this Mishnah will be like Ben Azai, who argues with Rebbe. And the Gemara is going to have a problem with that later. But Akaponim, this is how Rava is explaining the Machloikis of Ben Azai and Rebbe. Okay? That was Rebbe's Shita, that we said, that Kriya initially means just a burn. And Chabura tells me, Chabura Tas Chabura teaches me that no, Kviya means only if there was a Chabura. That's Rebbe's pshat. Ben Azay Sava, the Gemara goes on. Ben Azay Sava, Ben Azay says, you know, before we do Ben Azay, let's just reread the Gemara to get it clear. Again, Rebbe Yoma Kviya Nemra Tchila. Ben Azay Yoma Chabura Nemra Tchila. What does that mean, Tchila? The Gemara explains. So, my Kamiflingi, what's Machloi? Rebbe Sava Kviya de Lesbe Chabura Mashra. When the Torah writes Kviya, Tachas Kviya, it means without a Chabura. Yechai for burn by itself. But then Kosev Rachmana Chabura, then the Torah comes along in a few words later and writes Chabura Tachas Chabura, Ligluye Allah de Kviya. So that comes to teach me that what does Kviya mean? Kviya de Isbe Chabura in. That when he can be chayef a kviya, only if there's a chabura. Eloi, loi. If there's no chabura, it's just a kviya, you won't be chayef. So that's not like our Mishnah that says you chayef just for kviya alone. Ben Azay Sava. Now Rav explains what Ben Azay holds. Ben Azay Sava, kviya, the isbe chabura mashma. He says when the word, the Torah writes, Kviya Tachas Kviya, it means with a Chabura. Our starting point is that it means with a Chabura. Kosav Rachmana Chabura, then the Torah writes the word Chabura Tachas Chabura to tell me to reverse the Pshat. To tell me, Ligluye Allah de Kviya, to teach me what does kviya mean, the less be chabura, that there is no chabura, that you chayef for kviya, even if it's just a burn, and there is no chabura. So now, Ben Azay's pshat fits very good with the Mishnah, because our Mishnah told us that you chayef for burning the fingernail, where there's no chabura, but there's tzar. So Ben Azay's shita seems to fit well with the Mishnah. According to Rav, and this is Rav's interpretation of the Machloikis, Ben Azay, and Rebbe. Says Rashi, Tsar Shaloi B'Makam Nezek, Kimas Nisan, like our Mishnah's case, Al Tiparnai, that the burn was on his fingernail, the loy ifchasei, so he doesn't cause him any loss of money. He's not devalued. He doesn't lose his work. He doesn't have to pay doctor bills. He doesn't have to say miss his work. Right? Just plain tzar. Says Rashi further, Hachi Gassina. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, Kviya nemra tchila. Ben Azay Oimer, Chabura nemra tchila. Kviya the less bay chabura mashma. Okay, so Rashi explains. So now again, the word tchila obviously does not mean what's written in the pasuk first, because we know what's written in the pasuk. They can't be arguing about it. But their argument is, what does kviya mean? Does kviya mean a burn with a chabura, or does it mean a burn without a chabura? And what does tchila mean? Tchila means what's my initial assumption? And then we change that assumption because the Torah then writes the words chabura tachas chabura. Right? So the question is, what is my initial assumption of the meaning? So Rashi now goes on to explain that. V'hainoi, the Ka'amar, so the Gemara said, tchila de lesbe chabura mash. According to Rebbe, kviya, if it would have just written kviya, that would imply a burn without a chabura. V'hainai dekama, kviya l'chuda nemra. That's what it says, kviya l'chuda nemra tchila. that initially my assumption is that it's a kviya by itself without a chabura. Klima, kviya shenema bepasuk. The word kviya that's written in the pasuk, tchila ha'ayin shaymin, initially we would have thought it means shechayiv al kviya greda, that shechayiv just for the kviya. Afilu beloy chabura, even without a chabura. The leka elitza, that you only had tza. That was my initial assumption, according to Rebbe, of what kviya means. Lekach hutzucha chabura, so that's why the Torah had to write chabura. The lame to teach me that no, that's not what kviya means. The lame she'ein chayef klum, that you won't be chayef anything if it's just a kviya. Ad shehei chabura ima. You'll only be chayiv if there is a chabura with the kviya. The kivan, the mishalem, ripoy mishem chabura. Just like you pay doctor bills only when there's a chabura, mishalem namitzar, you're going to pay tzar also only if there is a chabura. Avol shaloi b'makam chabura. But if there's only tzar and there is no chabura, kigoyin al tipayrin, like the case of the Mishnah. Potter, you're going to be potter from paying for the tzar. The tzar beloy nezek loy mishalem. That's how Rava explains Rebbe Shita, that tzar without chabura is potter. The ila mishem hachi, because it's not so, lo itzu chabura. So why do I need a pasuk? The reason why he's understanding it this way is because I don't need a pasuk of chabura to tell me yechayev if you make a wound. The hashda kviya v'loy chabura shamina dechayev. If you're chayev for just the burn, so then for sure yechayev if you make a wound. Hashda kviya v'loy chabura shamina dechayev. If you chayiv for the burn without a chabura, kol shekein chabura sheyesh b'nezek, certainly if you have a chabura where your mamish caused damage, so certainly you're going to be chayiv. Why do I need a pasuk of chabura to tell me that you're chayiv? So therefore, that you're chayiv for chabura. So therefore, the pasuk chabura must be coming to tell me that you're chayiv for that when the pasuk said kviya, it means a wound, a burn with a chabura. That's why the pasuk of chabura is being written to teach me how to translate the word kviya. So after we have both psukim, we now know that kviya, tachas kviya means if there is a burn with a wound, that's when you're going to be chayiv. That is Shitas Rebbe. So now says the Gemara, what is Ben Azai hold? How does Rava understand Ben Azai Shita? Says the Gemara further, U Ben Azai Savar, Ben Azai holds, Kviya de Isba Chabur Mashma. He says, if the pasuk would just say kviya, I understand that to mean a burn with a wound. Kviya de isba chabura mashma. So then why does the Torah write chabura? Kos of rachmona chabura. So then the Torah writes chabura, tachat chabura. Legluye Allah de kviya, to show me what was the correct type of kviya, the les be chabura. That kviya means just a plain kviya without a chabura. Says Rashi, Benazai sava, Benazai hold, kviya, the is ba chabura mashun. In the fourth wide line of Rashi, Benazai says, kviya, the is ba chabura mashma. Vahaina the kama. So now, this is what Ben Azai says. Chabura nemra tchila. Right? Ben Azai said, chabura was said first. What does that mean, chabura was said first? that initially, when it said kviya, it meant with a chabura. The Klima Rashi explains, mikviya ha'amura rishayna, that kviya that was written first in the pasuk, hayinu shaymen, I would have understood, if it just said kviya, I would have understood, she'ein chayiv ela b'makam she'yesh b'chabura, that you'll be chayiv only if there's a wound with it. The stam kviya yesh b'chabura, and in most cases, if someone gets burnt, there is a wound. So therefore, I would have understood kviya tachas kviya means that he got burnt and there's a wound. And that's when the Torah says that yechayiv only if there's a wound with the burn, then yechayiv for the tsar of the burn. So that's why the Torah went and wrote the word chabura tachas chabura after that to tell me that no, that kviya tachas kviya meant just the plain burn. That you chayiv for that, even by itself, you have to pay. The hashda, now that it wrote chabura afterwards, so that says chabura. So what did kviya mean? The kviya must have meant without a chabura. The hashda, akarchach, the kviya, the resha, below chabura. So now kviya that was written in the first part of the pasuk means without a chabura, below chabura he. V'chayiv b'tzar, below nezek. And you be chayiv just for the burn, even though there's no nezek, kimas nisin. And that fits in good with the Mishnah, because that's what the Mishnah said, that you chayiv, if you just burn his fingernail, but there's no chabura, but you chayiv for the tsar. Okay, that's how Rava understands the machloikis of Rebbe and Ben Azai. And therefore, according to this understanding, it comes out that our Mishnah is following Shitas Ben Azai, because in our Mishnah, it tells us clearly that Yechayiv for Tzar, Shaloi B'Mokoyim Nezek. Says Rav Papa. Comes along Rav Papa, and he's going to argue with Rava, and says, I understand the Machloikis of Ben Azai and Rebbe just the opposite that you understand it. And therefore, according to me, the Mishnah will be Rebbe and not Ben Azai. And that makes a lot more sense, because Rebbe was the author of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Maskif lo Rav Papa. Rav Papa is the question on Rava's Pshat. And he said, Adarabba, on the contrary, Ipcha Mistavra, the reverse is more logical. And therefore, I teach it the following way. Rebbe Omer, the Rebbe says, Kviya Nematchila, that first, it says, Kviya Nematchila, meaning, Kviya de Izba Chabura Mashma, that the initial assumption is that kviya means with a chabura, cause of rachmana chabura. So therefore, the Torah writes chabura legluye Allah de kviya to show you what does kviya really mean. The less bo chabura, that there is no chabura, and that the Torah was mechayiv you just for kviya by itself, even though there's no chabura with it. You're going to be chayiv for the kriya. And that means you're chayiv if you just burn you burn his fingernail and his tsar, you're going to be chayiv. So according to this understanding, if Rebbe, according to Papa's understanding of Rebbe, the Mishnah does follow Rebbe Shita. Let's see Rashi. Rashi will explain what was troubling Rav Papa. Says Rashi, six lines up from the bottom. Ipcha Mistavra. The Papa said that the logic seems to be the reverse. umasnisin rebihi. And according to Rav Papa, the Mishnah will work out like Rebbe. Velo ben Azai. Deloy aklin akrinon lei mi Rebbe. Du sidra. You don't want to take the Mishnah away from Rebbe. Rebbe is the one who authored the Mishnah. You don't want to make it that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe. So therefore, our Papa is saying that, according to the way I understand the Machlokes, the Mishnah will be Rebbe, which will be better. V'yai, and furthermore says, V'yai, and furthermore says Taisvis, says Rashi, the Hachi Mistavra Tfei, that this is more logical. The Hanemra, because this word they said Nemra, right? They said Kfiya Nemra Tchila. Kfiya was said first. So he says, the Ha Nemra, the Kama Rebbe Ben Azai. This term that Rebbe Ben Azai said, Nemra, Amaskana, the Milsa Kaimi. The word Nemra, he's saying, is referring to the conclusion. In other words, if there, we make Adrosha, that Chabura Tachas Chabura reverses what we originally thought Kfiya means, that is what the Nemra is referring to. After the reversal. In other words, so now, after I had Chabura Chabura, the word Chabura, now I know what Kfiya means. Again, so Rashi says, V'yayid, the Hachi Mistavra Tfei, that this is more logical. The Hanemra de Kamri Rebbe Ben Azai, that the word Nemra that Rebbe Ben Azai said, Amaskana de Mufakoi, it means, how do I conclude that the word Kviya Tachas Kviya means? The Metukma Ba Drasha de Kra, in other words, once I have the drush of the pasuk, so now I know what it means. V'lava mashmos kamakoi. Nemra is not referring to what I think initially it means. Nemra is saying, after the conclusion, what does it mean? So Rebbe's term was kviya nemra tchila. That means that the conclusion of kviya means just the boil, just the burn. And that would make him like the Mishnah. So therefore, Rav Papa has two reasons of why he's flipping it. First of all, he wants to make the Mishnah work out like Rebbe. And secondly, he says the word Nemra is not referring to what initially I thought Kviya means. Nemra is saying, what does it mean after the conclusion? So he says, so Rashi says further, Amaskana Kami, the Mitukma Badrasha, the Kra, Valava Mashmas Kamakoi. The word Nemra is not going according to what I thought initially it means. The Saif HaMikra Asid Laitziyai. Valava Mashmas Kamakoi, the Saif HaMikra Asid Laitziyai. It's not going to the Havamina to tell me what the Havamina was and later the pasuk is going to undo that havamin and tell me that that was not the correct shot. And therefore, v'hochi kama Rebbe. So this is what Rebbe was saying. Soif ha-mikra moichiach lanu, the end of the pasuk, meaning chabura tach chabura, proves to us the kviya b'loi chabura chayiv, that when the pasuk said kviya tach kviya, it means that Yechayev just for the burn, even if there is no chabura. The kviya v'loy chabura chayev akosu b'tchiloso. That's what the pasuk meant initially when it says kviya tachas kviya. It means, in other words, when the Torah wrote kviya tachas kviya b'tchiloso, it means without a chabura. V'tzar mishtalein shaloi b'makam nezek. And you pay for the tsar, even though there's no nezek, you pay just for tsar, my timer. And what's the reason for that? They say, because kviya this b'chabura mashma. Initially, I think kviya means with chabura. Because Rachman, then the Torah goes and writes Chabura to tell me, no, don't teach the word Kviya, Tachas Kviya, to mean with the Chabura. Oh, but that's how, so that's how Rebbe will learn the Pesuk. Benaza Yomer. This is all according to our Papa's understanding. Benaza Yomer. And Benaza says, Saif HaMikr Mechiach Lanu. Just the opposite. He says, the end of the Pesuk, Chabura Tach Chabura, teaches me that Kviya means with a wound. Benaza Yomer, Saif HaMikr Mechiach Lanu. The end of the Pesuk proves to us the Chabura Nematchila, that when it said Kviya Tachas Kviya, it means with a Chabura, Klima. Misoif HaMikra Anu Lemeidin, from the end of the Pasuk, from Chabura Tachas Chabura, we learn Shekviya Shechayev HaKosu B'tchilaso, that when the Torah said Kviya Tachas Kviya, Eina Ella Imkein Yesh Ima Chabura. It means that there was a chabura with it. My timer, because kviyat less b'chabura mashma. So according to Rav Papa, it's just the opposite. Reb, and what it means tchila is that what does, when it says kviyat tachas kviyat, the words that were written first, what does it mean? L'maskana, what does it mean? Just a plain burn without a chabura. According to Rebbe, according to Benazai, when it said Kviya Tachas Kviya, what does that mean? The word Kviya Tachas Kviya means a burn with a wound. So therefore, according to this understanding of their Machlokes, the Mishnah is following Rebbe. Because the Mishnah says that Yechayev, if there is Tzar, even if there's no Chabura, because it gives you that example of being burnt on the nail, which is only tzar. And that's, according to our papa, that's Rebbe Shita also. And therefore, according to our papa, the author of the Mishnah will be Rebbe. Okay, that's one shot in Rav Papa, that Rav Papa is suggesting. So the Gemara says further. Let's go a bit further here. We are Maskana Kaimi. So according, this is just concluding Rav Papa's chat. Maskana Kaimi. So that means that we're reading the pasuk according to the Maskana, according to the conclusion. After it said Chabura Tachas Chabura, so now I know what Kviya Tachas Kviya means. Says the list, Rashi, Amaskona Kaimi, Hai Nemra de Ka'amri, when they said Kviya Nemra Tchila, Chabura Nemra Tchila, it means according to the conclusion, after we had the other Pasuk, now I'm saying what's Taichin Kviya? Hai Nemra de Ka'amri, Asoifad Rasha. It's going on the conclusion of the drasha, v'ikra shi'ar medes kaimi, and that's how, in other words, that is the concluding meaning of the word kviya. So that's what they're arguing about according to the maskana. What does kviya mean? Whereas according to Rava's shot, he was saying what the havamina of kviya was. According to Rav Papa, their machloikis is about. After we have both psukim, what does kviya mean? In other words, the bottom line. According to our papa, the taich of kviya is the bottom line after the conclusion of the drasha of the Gemara. Okay, that was one pshat that Rav Papa was suggesting, and it works out like Rebbe. Inami, says the Gemara, or Rav Papa suggests another idea. Inami, you could say, the kuli alma kviya bain the isba chabura bain the lesba chabura mashma. You could say that the word kviya tachas kviya means both ways, either with a chabura or without a chabura. And therefore, it can go Well, we'll see. It can go like Rebbe. Well, we'll see. So again, Inami Or says Rapapa, the Kuli Alma Kviya Kivan Bain Kviya Bain the Isba Chabura Bain the Lesba Chabura Mashma. That the word Kviya means either way, a burn with a Chabura or without a Chabura, Yechai is to pay. V'hocha, and over here, what's the machloikis Rebbe and Benaza? A v'hocha b'klal uprat hamruchokim ze mizeh kamifligi. They argue on this principle of klal uprat that's not next to each other. Okay, let's just go over one of the principles. One of the hermeneutical principles, if you say every day Rabbi Shmuel, what?
Yes, yes.
If you say Rabbi Shmuel, the brayso of Shmuel every day in davening, so there's something there called a klal uprat, which means like this. Let's say you have a pasuk that gives you a statement that's a generality. It can include many things. A word that can include many things, and we'll see exactly what it means in a second here. Like kviya, tachas kviya means a burn. So it could mean a burn with a chabura, or it could mean a burn without a chabura. It could mean both things. Right? So when you have a pasuk with a general statement, followed by a specific item, so then, the first pasuk means only the specific item. That's what klal uprat means. If you have a klal, which includes many things, and then followed by a prat, which says only one of them, so then, the din is, it's only applied to that one item. So, over here, you could say the klal, a kviya tachas kviya is the klal, it says a burn. So if you would only say that, you could say it means a burn with a chabura or a burn without a chabura. But then right afterwards it says chabura tachs chabura. So that's a prat, which would tell you only if there's a chabura. That's how I normally darshan this. However, in this case, the prat is not written directly after the klal, because in between, we have a pasuk of petza tachas petza. So therefore we call this klal uprat, we call it klal uprat hamruchokim zemi zeh, where the prat is distanced from the klal. It's not written right next to the klal. And their machloikis is that in such a klal uprat, where the prat is distanced from the klal, do we still darshan the klal uprat or not? That's going to be the machloikis of Rebbe and Ben Azai. So now let's see it inside. So the Gemara says, Inami, or if you want, you could say the Kuli Alma, everybody holds kviya. That kviya means bein dis b'chabura, bein deles b'chabura. If we just say kviya by itself, it could mean both cases. Mashma. V'hocha, but over here, what's the machlokes? Bechlal uprat hamruchakin zeh mizeh kamiflegi. We're on daf pei hey of an aleph now, top line. Here the machlokes is, what if the klal uprat are distant from each other? So let's see, Rashi explains the discussion here. Says Rashi, Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds, ain't done in oise bechlal uprat. Rebbe says, well, this is the Gemara says, Rebbe Sava ain't done in Isa b'klal uprat. That when the klal uprat are distanced from each other, then we do not apply the principle of ain b'klal elamasha b'prat. Right? Normally, if they're next to each other, you say, what's the included in the klal? Only that which the prat, with the prat was. And that's it. The Rebbe holds that since the prat is distanced from the klal, we don't apply the principle. The Rashi explained, Rebbe Savar ain donin hocha nami. In our case also, kviya nemra tchila. First, the pasuk says kviya. Klal. That's the klal. The kviya mashma, because it just says a burn. So that's mashma. Bein sheyesh imachabura. Bein she'ein imachabura. Mashma, either way, it could be a case with a wound or without a wound. Ve'i hava chabura samachlei. If the pasuk of chabura, tachas chabura, would have been written right next to the word kviya, tachas kviya, hava darshi, so then I for sure would have darshin. Chabura is a prat. Ve'ein bechlal elamasha beprat. And therefore that makes the drasha that in the klal, we only can include the prat. The Torah wrote the prat right after the klal to tell you just the prat is meant. Yea, and therefore I would have said, yesh ima chabura. In other words, if it would have been written directly after kviya, I would have dashed in this principle of klal uprat, ein bechlal alamasha beprat, and then I would have said, that when are you chayiv for a burn? I would have said, only if there is a chabura. So let's just read this again. We have a chabura samachlei. If the word chabura would have been right next to the word kviya, havidashi chabura prat, I would have said the chabura is the prat, the ein bechlal al mashiba prat, and therefore the only thing included in the klal is the prat. And therefore, my conclusion would have been, yeji mechabura in, that if there is a chabura together with the burn, then you're going to be chayv to pay for the burn. Ein ima chabura, loy. But if there is no chabura with the burn, then you don't have to pay for the burn. But it didn't say it right next to it. And therefore, Rebbe holds, I don't dash in klal uprat. Hashta diksiv petza beintayim. But now that in the Torah, in the pasuk, after kviya tachas kviya, it says petza tachas petza, and then it says chabura tachas chabura. So it's not written right next to it. The hashta diksiv petza beintayim. Now that it says the word petza beintayim, loy daininan, we don't dashin the klal uprat. And therefore, I say kviya tachas kviya, means either case. Either there is a chabura, you'll be chayiv for the pet, you'll be chayiv for the kviya, for the tsar, and even if there's no chabura, you'll be chayiv for the tsar. So Rashi says, then what do I need the pasuk chabura tachas chabura for? So Rashi says, umekaman parech, later the Gemara is going to ask, Chabura l'Rebbe l'Omali. Why do I need the word Chabura tach Chabura if it's not there to be the prat after the klal? B'hainai, so the Gemara says, so Rashi concludes, B'hainai de ka'amar kviya nemra t'chila. And that's why, so when Rebbe said kviya nemra t'chila, remember, those are the words that they're all arguing about. What does it mean? Kviya nemra t'chila. That was Rebbe's statement. The Rashi says now, v'hayna dekamar kviya nemra t'chila. So that's what Rebbe meant when he said kviya nemra t'chila kloima mitchilas ha-pasuk anu lemeidin shehu chayiv b'kviya greida. That from the beginning of the pasuk, when it says kviya tachas kviya, from there I can learn out that the chayiv for tsar, even though it's by itself, without any chabura. So Rashi says then, v'hayne dekama kviya nemra t'chila. So that's what Rebbe meant when he said kviya nemra t'chila. Kloima, that means to say, mitchilas ha-pasuk, from the beginning of the pasuk, anu lemeidin, we learn shuchayiv bekviya greida. We learn that shuchayiv just for a burn by itself, even though there's no chabura. V'lenema soifoy merchiach And we don't say that the end tells us what tefillah means. And we don't say that the end, the chabura tach chabura, is going to teach me that you're only chayiv if there's a chabura. Why? Because if we were darshan the klal of prat, then we'd be able to say that. But here, since the prat is not written next to the klal, so we don't darshan the klal of prat. The ain't done in because we don't dash in this klal prat. Umasnisin Rabbi he. So it comes out that our Mishnah will be following Rabbi Shita. Because according to the way we just dashin, we're not dashing the klal prat. So we're saying that kviya tachas kviya means it could be chayv even if the tsar is there by itself. And the Mishnah told us such a case, where it's just burnt on the nail, so it's just plain tzar. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara is explaining, Rabbi Sava, Rabbi holds, ain donin oisai b'klal prat. We're not going to do the klal prat, drasha, because the prat is not written right next to the klal. Ubenazai Sava, Benazai holds, donin oisai b'klal prat. He holds that you can still dash in the klal prat, even though it's not right next to each other. So now the Gemara asks one more question, and this question is what Rashi pointed out, that according to Rebbe, if I'm not making the drusha of klal uprat, so why did the Torah write the word chabura? Chabura tach chabura, if you say that it was written there to dash in the klal uprat, to limit the klal, so then fine, then there was a function of that pasuk. But now, according to Rebbe, since it's distance from the word kriya tachas kriya, we're not dashing it, so what was the point of writing it? Frek the Gemara, v'chi teima, if you're going to ask me, chabura, l'Rebbe lamali, why do I need this word, the words chabura tachas chabura? No. And for the Gemara, l'damim yiseirim. I need it to tell me that you're going to charge him extra. What does that mean? Says Rashi. L'amali, why do I need these words, chavutach chabura, ha'ilam ha'reish shaminu tavayu? From the first words, kviyatach kviya, we said it means both ways. It could mean with a wound or without a wound. Yechayef to pay. Correct? So therefore I know you're chayiv to pay for when there's a wound also. So what I need a pasuk to tell me, chabura tach chabura. So the Gemara answered, l'damim yiseirim. The Rashi explained, the e loiksiv ela kviya tachas kviya. At the time we just written kviya tachas kviya. Havamrinan. We would have said that bein is be chabura. Bein les bechabura, dmei kviya mishalem. Avotate loy mishalem, kamashan, misham tavayu. Again, what Rashi is going to tell us is that had the Torah not written chabura, tachas chabura, I would have said that when the Torah writes kviya tachas kviya, that you chay for the burn, right? And we're saying it means whether there's a wound or not, I would have said yechayiv for the burn only. That means if there's no chabura, so fine. But even if there is a chabura, you only have to pay for the burn. You don't have to pay for the chabura. I would have said you don't have to pay for the nezek. So therefore, the Torah has to tell me, no, you pay chabura tachas chabura, you have to pay for the chabura as well. This is a very strange havamina to think that you only pay for the tsar and you're not going to pay for the nezek. So Tosis, in the Tosis L'damim, is very troubled with this pshat that Rashi offers. And if you look at the end of the Tosis, he says, V'nira L'ri, the Ri said a different pshat. L'damim Yiseirim means, Shemishalem Bitzar sheyesh boi roishem yoseh mi bitzar she'ein bo roishem, which means, what if the tzar is going to leave an ugly mark on you? Right, you have pain, right? You got burnt on the nail, let's say. And, okay, you pay for the tzar. But now there's going to be an ugly scar left on you from that. Even after the pain goes away, you're going to have an ugly scar left on that. So you're going to have to pay. The price for the tzar is going to be greater, because you could have tzar from the ugly scar that's remained. Says Tosis, Anira L'ri, so it seemed to the Ri, L'damim Yisayrim means, Shemishalem, Tzar, Sheyesh Boi Roishem, that you're going to have to pay for tzar that leaves a mark, it leaves a scar, Yoseh Mi Betzar She'ein Bo Roishem. That tzar is going to be more expensive than tzar that does not leave a mark. Even though you don't have any physical pain, there's no more tzar because there's a mark than if there isn't a mark. But nevertheless, since you're going to be left with a scar, mishalem yoiser, you're going to have to pay more, lefishem is ganem machmas aroshem, because it's more disgusting, because it's like painful for him in that he's got the scar. So therefore, that's what Tosis learns. Damim Yisayrim means that you're going to have to pay extra money for the type of tzar that leaves a scar. Okay, so that is. So that is this little sugi over here. So Lamaisa, at the end of the day, our Mishnah tells us that you have to pay for tzar, even though there is no nezek, right? Because our Mishnah gives you the example of where he got burnt on his fingernail, but there's no nezek, just tzar, and the Mishnah says you have to pay. So we have a machloikis in the Gemara, who's the author of the Mishnah. So according to Rava, he learned that Ben Azai is going to be the author of the Mishnah, which was, Rapapa was not happy with that pshat, because Rebbe is the author of the Mishnayis. And he is telling me that in the Machlokes of Ben Azai and Rebbe, our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe. So therefore, he flipped it around and made Rebbe the author of the Mishnah in his pshat. And then he also offered a third pshat, where also Rebbe was the author of the Mishnah. So I think we'll hold it here. We'll start tomorrow. We'll add to the next piece of Gemara, which is sort of a continuation of here. But for right now, this sort of is the end of the sugya. Let me just take attendance, see who is here today. Moshe Aaron? Moshe Aaron Cohen?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. Levi Yitzchak? Chaim Santos?
I'm here. Yeah, Levi Yitzchak is here. I'm sorry, my mic was up.
Levi Yitzchak, you are here?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yosef Meyer?
Yes, here. Yeah.
Good. Nathan Altshuler? Meyer Machlin?
Yes, here.
Good. Tal is here. I know. Baruch Brenner?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Netanel? Tovia? Did I miss anybody? Okay. So try to chazer over. Okay, it's not so complicated, just like a lot of detail. But try to chazer it over. And tomorrow, b'li neder, maybe we'll try to do a quick chazara and try a new piece of Gemara as well. Have a great evening, everybody.
Reb, may I ask Rebbe a question?
What?
May I ask Rebbe a question?
Absolutely.
So are we saying at the conclusion of this piece that Rava has a position that Rebbe might not be the author of every Mishnah, and that would be okay if a Mishnah wasn't like Rebbe?
Yeah, well, there, a lot of times there are cases where Mishnayos are not like Rebbe. A lot of times the Mishnah will be Rav Meir. I mean, Rebbe authored the Mishnayos. Generally speaking, he would be the author. But there are cases where he's not.
Rashi used a very strong
language. Not the author, meaning that the Mishnah does not follow his Shita.
Right, okay. Rashi seemed to be very bothered by it. He used a very strong term, Akreinen, that we uprooted Rebbe.
Right, it's not Rashi that says it, it's Rav Papa that says it. Rav Papa is the one that's upset with it. Right?
Yeah, okay.
It's Rav Papa that's upset.
Very good. Shkoyach, Rebbe.
Okay, Kol Tov, have a great evening.
Thank you, Rebbe. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Zay gesund. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're going to get started. It's 5:31. Welcome to everybody joining us. It's a wonderful day to learn all fire together. So we're in Parshas Emor, in Perek Chav Gimel, 23rd Perek, and we are going to start from Pasuk Yudalet. We left yesterday by the mitzvah of the Korban Omer. This is a special Korban Mincha, a grain offering that's brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. This is the 16th of Nisan. And they take some barley and they offer up the barley from the new crop. And this is the first sacrifice from the new harvest cycle of the season. And in Pasuk Yudal, it says, Lechem v'koli v'charmel osochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh, the bread, or even parched grain, it's usher to eat from the new crop until this day. Ad ha'viyachem es korban elokechem, until you bring up this korban, this mincha, this grain offering of the Omer. This iser is called chadash. Now, some people say, oh, this bread is yashan, or this cake is yashan. What does it mean? It means, don't worry about the problem of chadash. Chadash is that the new grain, the new crop, should not be eaten until the Korban Omer. Now, that was when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Now, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so what allows us to eat from the new crop? Because the Torah says, Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, until this day. So the 16th, in the morning, there's the morning of the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, it was just one day of Yom Tov, so Nisan 16th Chol HaMoed, when the sun rises on the 16th of Nisan, that's called Esam Yom HaZeh. So if there is no Korban Omer, because there's no temple, when the Goyim destroyed it, we still lived in Israel, so the day itself allows us to eat from the new crop. So we have a new crop in the yearly cycle, and its usher is called the Isra of Chadash, the new grain, until either we bring the Korban Omer, we add a Beis HaMikdash, or the morning of that day that we would have brought the Korban Omer of cards. And then we're allowed to eat from the new crop. Without going into the details of how that affects us B'chutz La'aretz, there's a lot of controversy about how Chadash should affect our lives outside the land of Israel. There are people who are lenient. There is a small movement of people who are machmir. And it's a machlok sachroinim exactly how Chodesh impacts our lives. Because that's why you see in some hashkochas, it says that it's yosha, meaning they're machmir, not to use anything for the new crop until after this day. Now, I heard there wasn't a big issue in America in the olden time because they used to store tons and tons of flour from past years, and then every year they would use the older, and the new crop would just go into storage. So at that time, Chodesh was not a big issue, but that's not the case now. Today, the new crop actually is used the year that it's harvested, and therefore there are some issues of Chodesh and Yasha. Okay, but there's not a halacha shia, so we're not going to go into that. I just want you to have a general idea of this process.
But one thing, I mean, it's desert and it's heat and everything else mostly by the Goyim, not even Jews. Not in Jewish land.
Right, but even if it's on Goyish land, if it's still a new crop, there are shilas that there might be chadash still. The Iker point is the Chutz La'aretz were more makel in Eretz Yisrael.
It's not Jewish farmers, it's Goyim mostly.
Right, and see, yeah, okay. So there are different factors going into the halachic discussion why in Chutz La'aretz the prevalent custom is to be makel. It's interesting that the Briskas were the ones who were machmer and not the Hasidim. It could be because the defender of the leniencies was the Bach, and the Baal Shem Tov said there's a special place in Gan Eden for the Bach because he justified the custom to be lenient. So once the Baal Shem Tov praised the Bach for his leniency, maybe it's my own guess, that's why the Hasidim didn't go in to be more machmer. So Chumra that the Briskas and Talmidim of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky were more involved. Okay, continues the Sukkot. Now that we've brought the Omer, we start counting. We start the Lachem, down in Pesach Tesvav, you count. We Machlas HaShabbos, from the day after the holiday, Yom Aviyachem is Omrat Snufa, from that day we brought the Korban Omer, we count 7 weeks, and 50, and the 50th day becomes a Shavuot, which is Mincha Chadash, a time we bring a new Korban. So this is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, with Sfartim Lachem. The you should all count. It's not just a law that says that like the high court would count, but it's incumbent upon every Jew to count these 49 days from the day of the Omer, and so we get to Shavuos. Okay, and that's the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Among the interesting shilas of Sfiras Omer that involve in halacha, the most common shila is it 49 separate mitzvahs? Every night has to be counted. And since it's separate mitzvahs, even if a person forgot to count a 24-hour period, he can still resume the next night with a bracha. Or do we say this one mitzvah made up of 49 parts, and once you're missing one part, you've lost the ability to count with a bracha the rest of the night? And this shaila comes up very often. We're only human, and many people forget to count. So once they realize that they forgot, can they continue with a bracha? To count without a bracha, of course, you always count. But to make a bracha, you have to know for sure you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So this is the Machlok Rishayim. The Bahag holds this one big mitzvah, and if you miss one night, you lost the mitzvah. Many Rishayim hold is separate mitzvahs. So it comes down to the following. If you forgot at night, but you did count the next day without a bracha, so then you can continue subsequent nights with a bracha. Why? We have a general principle called sex fake. If there's a doubt on top of the doubt, we can be lenient. There's one shaila, as we said, whether it's 49 separate mitzvahs and you can make a bracha even if you forgot a day or not. We have another shaila, does counting spirit during the day, is it effective or not? So let's say I lost, let's say today is Wednesday, at 20, the 27th of the Omer. So let's say I forgot to count last night. I forgot to count last night, it's 27th. If I count now, while it's daytime, and I say today is the 27th day of the Omer, is that effective or not? So now we say it's a machlokes on top of a machlokes. Maybe counting during the day is effective, in which case, of course, I can count tonight with a bracha. And even if you tell me it's not effective, and I lost this day, I lost 27, but according to many Rishonim, you can count 28, even if you forgot the 27. So since we have so many arguments in favor of counting with a bracha, so we say that if you count it during the day, that saves you the encounter following the night of that day with a bracha. So some people have a custom, after they daven in the morning, davening chakras, they recount the Omer, and that way if you forgot at night, at least chakras most people don't forget. Diagnosed matter, if it happens, the person went to sleep, you forgot to daven out. The chakras most people remember. So if you tie the serious Omer to the chakras, it's a good fail-safe to make sure the everyday gets counted, and that way you can continue with a bracha. Along the same lines that this is a shaila, if it's 49 mitzvahs or one mitzvah, there's a lot of Torah that bar mitzvah boys say when they're bar mitzvah in the middle of sefirah. Because let's say they counted 10 days before being bar mitzvah. It's true they had a mitzvah of chinuch. It was a good thing to count because of chinuch, but that wasn't really their mitzvah. So there's a shaila, can a bar mitzvah boy, now he's bar mitzvah on the 11th day, can he count with the bracha? Because if you say it's one big mitzvah, when that one big mitzvah started, he wasn't a bar mitzvah. Another interesting shy, I think somebody asked the stifler, is that this person, we'll call him Plony. Plony needed a serious operation, and he was scheduled during Sfira, and he knew that he would be out, he would be asleep for more than 24 hours, maybe even 48 hours. So he asked the stifler, he said, am I allowed to begin counting sphere with a bracha, knowing that in the middle, I'm going to have to lose a day? What's an interesting shaila? Then there's the international dateline shailas, where a person actually does lose a day. So there are many sphere shailas, just to be aware of them. Now, what about in the philosophy, what's the idea of counting from the second day of Pesach to Shavuos, So the Sefer HaChinuch says something very beautiful here. Let me share with you. This is Mitzvah Shin Vav, the 306 Mitzvah, Mitzvah Sfiras Omer. And he says, Mishar She'am Mitzvah Al-Sar HaShad. The simple understanding of the root or the philosophy of the Mitzvah, Shekuol Ikrin Shal Yisrael Eino Ela Taira. The essence of the Jewish people is Taira. As for Taira, that Kodesh Baruch Hu made the creation. Kamo Shekosta, and he brings proof in Paskin Yemiyahu, Lamed Gimel Chafei, in Lo Bris Yom of Alayla, if it wasn't for my covenant, I wouldn't have made day and night. Now, what does that mean to us to try and internalize that? Some people look at the world as basically the touchstone of existence. This is the world. This is where everything is. Jews look at the world as a stage that Kadosh Baruch Hu created for his actors to act out a script. The Torah is the script. The Jewish people are the actors. And this is why the stage exists. Let's say in some theater, there was arranged and they made a stage and they got the props and now they're going to have a theater performance. And all of a sudden the actors go on strike. Actors say, we're not going back to work, finished. So then the producer might say, well, I'm going to close the theater. If there's no actors on the stage, there's no reason for the stage to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the producer of the world. The script is the Torah, and the actor is the Klal Yisrael. So it's only because of the Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu made the world, because the sage is only created in order to have the play played out. And we are the actors on that stage. That's a whole different look. The Chinuch says that the essence of the Jewish nation is Torah. And for this Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth. The Ikra Sibish Nigol of Yosem and Mitzrayim. And the reason that there was an exodus and a redemption of Egypt, Kadesha Kabu HaTorah B'Sinai V'Kaimua. The exodus is only significant as a means to get us to Har Sinai and accept the script and fulfill it. Okay. So in Mela, we have to link the Exodus, which is the day after the first day of Pesach, the second day of the holiday, we start counting to link it up to Har Sinai.